Together is from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And the theme is on to put our trust in the Lord. And this is how God speaks to us through His Word. It said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last Sunday, we talked a great deal about God's love and the love that God's set before us, an example Jesus Christ has shown us to love God and to love one another. And because Jesus loved us so much, and as we have this commandment that we ought to love one another just as Jesus had loved us. And I've been thinking about that and reflecting on that. And it's, yes, I'm still going through this newness and new year, 2017. And I said, yes, love is the key. Love is so important. And also when I think about love and the people that God called me to love and show love to, and the people that I interact with, either in my family, my church, community, and even a stranger, it's a long story. I'm reminded so much, even last night, as I came back from one of my outing and coming back, even a traffic light, for no reason, God reminded me through another stranger that this Christ-like love must be tangible, live out, real. It has to be real for Christian every day when we go out there, things like on the road. I won't go through the details, but I was just real. Like, God reminded me that Christ-like love is the key. And so when I think about reflecting on that, I think, well, if it's set the key, I'm going to think about how do I love like Christ? And things are going to come back to me, like my past, the people that I deal with in my past, or situation, well, present even, or situation or circumstances. And the good news of that is that whenever we think about, well, doing God's will and God's work and living out His command, God always have a way. God always have a way for us to be able to do that. And He provide a way out, or He provide help for us. And this morning, through Proverbs, we're reminded to put our trust in the Lord, and which I will build to that theme towards my sermon. But first, I want to tell you that God promises that with His love, with His goodness, and His faithfulness, that God is doing a new thing every single day. God is doing a new thing every day with His love and His faithfulness. In Isaiah 43:18, we are reminded God said, "Forget the past. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wastelands." Now, this already is such a hope and encouragement to me. I hope that is to you. Because God not only created the heavens and the earth, and God is the mighty, the powerful, the holy God, but He's involved in our everyday affair. Thanks be to God. Can we say amen to that? He is involved. He cares about us, and He cares what we're going through, what we're dealing with. And in fact, He cares so much so that He said, "I am doing a new thing, that you can forget your past. Do not dwell in your past." The problem is that we do. That's why God said, "Do not do that," right? God said, "I'm doing a new thing." And we say, you know what? We have come up with all the 10,000, 20,000 excuses, and we recall our mistakes and our setbacks and our failures and all that. We dwell in our past, in our mind, our memories, and we can't move forward. We can't live in the life, the kind of life that God wants us to live. This morning I asked our 9 o'clock service, I asked the congregation, the worshipers, said, "Has anybody in this room, is anybody there here in this room, has never made a mistake?" You know, one person raised his hand. If I say his name, you will know who that is, but so I won't mention it for his name's sake. So he raised his hands, and I'll, for $20, I'll tell his name after church, all right? And I'll donate back into the offering plate. So only one person, but the truth is that we all make mistakes, we all have failures, we all have setbacks, and to dwell on those things will not help us to move forward. And precisely that's why God says in Isaiah text, he said, forget the past, do not dwell on the past. See, God is doing new things. It's not that the Israelite, the people of Israel, were not grateful to God. They were grateful to God. In fact, all that they remember were in that time when Isaiah had to remember the people of Israel that you can do it. You can move forward. But they were dwelling in the past with their oppression, their struggles, their burdens, that they couldn't see through the past. But they dwell in the past of the good old days, so to speak. It wasn't all their mistakes. It wasn't all their burdens. They only think of what God had done in the past. Remember the good old days? Oh, 80 years ago, our church were like this. Remember those kind of stories? 90 years. I mean, those were wonderful things. Or 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Or you could even quote about wonderful things God had done in your life. Oh, 10 years ago, our families were like this. Or our friends were like this. Or 20 years ago, I was financially this and I was financially that. I mean, you can think about all the wonderful things that God had done for you in the past. But if you dwell on those, as good as they are or as bad as they were, you could move forward. God knew that. And that's what precisely God said, do not dwell in the past. Forget the former things. And sometimes it's not just our mistakes, it's also our sins. The sins that we committed, the things that we did before God and before others that offended God, and we still dwell, even though God said, I remember your sins no more. We, from time to time, reminded ourselves of that, and God said, let it go. Let go and what? The phrase is let go and let God. God be in charge of your life moving forward. And we fail to move forward also because we fail to plan. And now, so those of you who are well doing in life and you have experience and season in life, and this is no new to you. But God wants us to think ahead and plan ahead to see what, in anticipation of what God is doing in our lives. And I think of people like Noah. I know I preached on this text before, the story of Noah who built the ark. Remember that Noah prepared, plan ahead. Even though he couldn't say in the past, he couldn't dwell in the past and say, well, God bless me, I'm favored by God, and God's going to take care of me. Even though God says, he got the information, said the rain's going to come, the flood. But to this point, when Noah built the boat, the ark, if you study, Noah had never seen a raindrop. The Lord had not caused it to rain. So for Noah to prepare for the future, because God said, focus on the future. This is what I'm going to do. For him to faithfully go out and build a boat, this is a man who got it right. I mean, he had his own problem and later on, but at this point, he got it right. He built the boat. He prepared for the future. And he accept the circumstances. He could whine about it, he could complain about it, he could blame others about why God's going to destroy the earth and so on and so forth, but he was faithful to God, and he believed in the future what God's going to do. So the encouragement to you men and women is that God doesn't care about your past. I mean, he cared about your past in a way that he took care of it, all right? He took care of our past, he was faithful to us, and he canceled our sins, he wiped away all of our sins. But he cares more about our present and, more importantly, our future. God cares about our future, your future, believers, Christians, so much so that he said, forget the past. And not only we need to stop dwelling in the past, I think we need to look at our life and what we have right now, what God has given to us, in order to live a new life, in order to move forward in the way God wants us to live in 2017. You see, we have to look at our experiences in a way, it's not that we don't make mistakes or we will never make mistakes, or we didn't make mistakes, but take your life as a whole, so to speak, a whole package. And you see, look at all your experiences and look at your mistakes and saying, okay, God has delivered me from that. And we also have the power through Christ to never go back, to never go back to those things. If you look at all the answer prayer, all the blessings, if you look at the list of the good things and your experiences, whether it will be a personal experience in the sense of vocational, professional experiences, whether your family experience, relational experience, or whether it be spiritual experience, all of it, look at all of that. And offer it to God and say, God, all I have, all my assets, everything that I have right now before you in 2017 as we begin, all of these things that you have given me, all of these things came from you no matter what. And all with all those experiences, can you look to the one who can help you in 2017? In Galatians 3:4 said, you, the body of Christ, you have experienced many things. Were all those experiences wasted? I hope not. That was Paul's encouragement. Paul's encouragement to the Christians in Ephesians to look at their lives and to look at all the experiences and to offer up to God and to trust God with everything they have and to call to on the name who can help them. So my encouragement to you, men and women, is when you go home today, or even now, if you want to kind of zone out, make a list of all the answered prayers, all the unanswered prayers, and all the things that God had given you, the people that loved you, the people that supported you, the people that cheer you on no matter what. Those are the people that are going to help you in this coming new year, through God's help, through God's love. And thank God for those things. But when you realize that, you know what, you're kind of situations or experience in life that you can't get out of, always look up to the one who can help you. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. And all of our experience are not wasted. Thanks be to God. Can we say amen to that? Amen to that. When we do that, When we offer everything we have to God, we need to start acting like it. What does that mean? We need to start acting like it. We gotta live in faith in everything. Really everything. Act in faith. We can't just say, oh, I'm a Christian, and we can profess our faith through words and lips and yes, sometimes in worship and wonderfully we sing songs about the goodness, the power, the mighty, and the wonderful blessings, the promises that nothing compares to the promise that we have in God, and we sing those things. It's a wonderful feeling. But you know, faith is not just a feeling, right? We got to live this faith in all areas of our lives. Whether it be for our financial need, whether it be for our area of relationship, whether area of our professions and all the things that we need and all the areas of aspects of our lives, we need to remember that we got to step out in faith and act like it, act like a believer. And I think of a story of that when Peter and John went up to pray in a temple one day in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Peter and John went up to pray, and remember there was a beggar, the story, right? There was a beggar, and he was begging for food. He was begging for money, and he was begging, and he was in just expectation. Step up in faith that he would get something. So he was begging, he was pleading, he was asking for it, and finally, what he got was more than what he asked for: a new life. He was able by pleading, asking, expecting, he was able to stand up and walk and got a new life. Men and women, we got to believe that our God is bigger than anything. Our God indeed can do all the impossible. Can you say that you believe in a God who make all things possible today? He can really, really help you, guide you, carry you through. Remember, he parted the sea. Remember, he fed his people from the sky. These are literally two. Remember, this is a God who we worship, who multiplied fish and bread to feed the multitude. 10,000, 20,000, and much more. Can we say that we have a God who can carry us through no matter what? That's the God we believe in. Jesus said in Matthew 9, he said this, according to your faith, not according to what you think or what you assume, but according to your faith, it will be done to you. So simple and so powerful, isn't it? According to your faith. Yeah, that's just a simple statement. But for Christian, it's much more than that. It's a life-changing. It's for transformation. Maybe that this is the year that you want to step out in faith. That you realize that you no longer have to be afraid of what people might say to you, what people may think about you. The fear of man or the fear of woman. And step out in faith and try to go and love that person anyway. Try to forgive that person anyway. Try to help that person anyway. Try to share the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the people in need. Step out in faith. The word of God said, being afraid of people can get you into trouble. But fear of man is a dangerous trap. But to trust in God means safety. So I want to focus on that next. That is that, man, if we want to live a new life, the kind of life that God wants to live this 2017, not only we should not dwell in our past, we must not dwell in our past, focus in the future and what God can do, what God will do through his power and through his help, and appreciating all our experiences, what God has given to us, acknowledging God, all that we have our access, and calling out to him for his help, and stepping out in faith. All the things we need to do, these are, yes, good things, and we must do. But unless we do this, it's impossible. What is this? What is the next step? That is that all of us need, including me, all of us who wants to live, believers, who wants to live a new life in Christ, we must refocus our thoughts. We must refocus our thoughts. And how? Why do we need to refocus our thoughts? This is what the Proverbs reminded us. In Proverbs, it says that be careful how you think. Be careful how you think. Why? Because your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful how you think. So we need to refocus our thoughts. Do you want to live a joyful life? Do you want to live a life that is full of God's love? And do you want to love others? Do you want to forgive others? Do you want to help others? Do you want to live for God this year? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be joyful, happy, and successful? Because all Americans I know, including myself, I want to be happy and successful. Anybody here don't want to be happy and successful? We all want to be happy and successful, right? So I'm here to change your mind. I mean, not to change your mind from trying to be happy or successful, but I'm here to help you change your mind about why you can't be happy or why we can't be happy or why we can't be successful. Here's the word that I've reminded throughout this week by God through his holy word. Here's how Christians can truly be happy and successful. Psalm 1, it says this, happy are those who are always meditating on God's word. They are like trees along a river that do not dry up. They succeed in everything they do. The word, the key two words are here, happy and success. And God tells us how we can get there. But many times I make mistakes and I look at this and say, whoopee, I should be happy. I read Bible all the time, right? So are you. I know you read your Bibles. I believe in the Holy Bible, 66 books, Old Testament, New Testament. I mean, is that all it takes to be happy? Just open up in Genesis to Revelations and read, and whenever I can and wherever I can and read. And that's what the Bible said, right? Read your Bible and be happy. Well, actually not. It doesn't say read your Bible and you'll be happy and successful. If you have your Bible open up, read Psalm 1. This is what God said. Happy are those who are always meditating on God's word. The key right there is meditating. Not reading it. Meditating. What's the word meditating? What's the definition of that? Thinking deeply, right? Thinking deeply, reflecting on it, and remembering it. So memorization of God's word comes handy here. But not enough. We got to think deeply every time. So here's the key. In order to refocus our thoughts, we must not just forget our past, but we got to think different things. Right? Because many times I make this mistake too, to say, well, I'm not going to think about my past. I'm not going to think about my past. I'm not going to think about my past. Yes, I repeated this 3 times. But when I do that, when I say those things, I'm not going to think about my past. You know what I'm already doing? I'm thinking about it, right? I am. So in order to move away from that, it's not enough that not just to think about it, but to actually move away from it, to think something different. And that's why God said, happy are those who are always meditating on God's word. Let us be the people that meditate on God's word day and night. I mean it. Let's start from there. Read Psalms, read Proverbs, read the Gospel, read Paul's letter, and meditate on them. Don't just stop from reading it, but meditate on them. Your life will be changed, be transformed. And that's why God gave us this solution, this step to say, you can live a new life. You can move on. We can, through the words of St. Paul's of Romans 12:2, it said, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of what? Your mind. Wow. And again, I want to remind you, Proverbs 4:23, be careful how you think. Your life, indeed, is shaped by your thoughts. So all of these things, what do we then, knowing that God wants the best for us? In John 10:10 said, I have come to give you life, not just a life, not just a new life. Life what? To the fullest, to the full. Life, abundant life, to the full. God wants to give you. That is for you already the promise that nothing can compare to the promise that we have in Christ. Jesus came to not to punish us, not to condemn us, but he came to give us life, life to the fullest. And it is for our grasp, it is for our taking, it is for our receiving. And that's when we say, God, because you came to give me a new life. You came to turn all my water into wine, right? Our God is the God of miracles. We must rely on him. We can't do it on our own, because he's the one who came to give us this new life. Zechariah chapter 4:6 said, you will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So that's why Proverbs 3:5-6 reminded us, God came to give us a new life, and he promised, he warned us, he instructed us not to dwell in our past. He guided us through his word to appreciate our experiences. He encouraged us to walk in faith, and he asked us through Psalm to refocus our thoughts, to renew our mind through his holy word. And finally, God is calling us to trust him. Let go and let God is not just a fancy phrase or redundant words that being used in messages when we don't know what to do. But truly, Proverbs says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That literally means all of your ways. The situations in your life, the small things, the big things, the things that you even think you can solve, because later on those things will come back. The things that you can't solve on your own, everything. Please, right then, trust in the Lord, in his hand, and say, Lord, you came to give me a life. Life. to the fullest, I will trust in you. May that be the things that we do this year. May we be able to live a new life. Because those who are in Christ are new creation. We are new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. May we put our trust in the Lord. Let us live a new life in Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join us in